This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today. Go to NILGameChangers.org. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Sean Fitz in the final half hour today. Looking forward to that. Like I said, he doesn't do many of these shows, but he said, you know, and he said, yeah, I'll do the show, which I was appreciative of the fact that he wants to take the time to do this. He'll do shows that are within the realm of on3.com, but outside, he doesn't do a lot of outside stuff. So thrilled that he'll take some time to join us today to talk about that. You know, about what's going on in recruiting, because the way it works right now is it's going to be a busy weekend, and then the official visit season gets underway the weekend of May 31st, and that runs through each weekend through June. Now, not everybody can fit in that time frame. That's why you can still have people coming in right now. But there you go.
I was going to say, you get a day like today, it'll be a perfect time to visit Penn State.
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly. No, today's phenomenal. It is phenomenal. And I think we've all been looking for it. Very quickly, we'll update the PGA Championship of Valhalla. It's the Xander Schauffele show so far. He shot a 9-under par 62 today. That ties a major championship record with a 62. Three shots better than Tony Finau, four better than Rory McIlroy. And Tiger Woods ended up even 10 shots back. Now we're in the process of the afternoon rounds beginning. I meant to ask the suit about the video game, because I know he's excited about NCAA 225. On the cover will be Colorado wide receiver, defensive back Travis Hunter, Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers, and Michigan running back Donovan Edwards. So those are the three cover guys for NCAA 25 from EA Sports. I don't think I've seen a video game. I mean, we all know that Madden brings with it a lot of fanfare. And I know when we've had Brandon Gowden on the show, that brought up the fact that what Brandon does with that game is actually amazing, because he's been the play-by-play guy on that game for like 6 years, at least, maybe seven. And he's doing updates throughout the course of the season in his home studio. So they put a lot into this. They put a lot into this.
By the way, I was going to say, I have NBA 2K 24, and I think they update that every 2 weeks with roster updates and everything. They do until they bring the new game out. Like, I even think the WNBA draft's in there now. I think you can actually play with Caitlin Clark.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. All right. And so they have all that. And by the way, we all know that Roger Haddon is a huge Washington Commanders fan, right? Well, guess who's also a huge Washington Commanders fan? Sean Fitz will be joining us in the final half hour. So, down at the ACC meetings at Amelia Island, where the suit has a second home, and we've actually, all of us voted that we feel it'd be wonderful for him to make it his primary home. Trying to think of that benefits.
Mrs. Suit.
Jim Phillips said the pending litigation with Florida State and Clemson is disruptive and harmful, but it has not changed the dynamic between them as the league wrapped up 3 days of meetings. So they had athletic directors, football coaches, men's and women's basketball coaches. They're all there talking about the big ticket items, including the possible settlement of House versus the NCAA, college football playoff expansion, revenue distribution, and changing the perception around the league. Phillips acknowledged that what remains ongoing with Clemson and Florida State, saying it's difficult, it's disruptive, it's harmful. But that's the world we live in, and hasn't changed one iota about how we've interacted with them, and it shouldn't. Clemson and Florida State, by the way, were full participants in the meetings over the past 3 days. Michael Alford, who's the Florida State athletic director, whom we talked about yesterday, when asked if about the meetings, he said they were cordial. When asked if their future in the league could be salvaged, he said, we'll just have to wait and for that to play out. Okay. It's a simple and safe answer. Asked the same question on Wednesday about salvaging the future with Florida State and Clemson, Phillips said, you have to stay optimistic and you work through these things. I don't know where it's going to go, but I will continue to remain optimistic about our league, and I won't ever change until somebody else tells me differently. Am I going to fight and protect the ACC? Absolutely. I have to do that. That's my responsibility, so we'll see where it goes. Phillips said, if we're chasing money, then we're chasing money, but I believe we're also trying to chase success. So if it's just a money issue, which no one can show me that money equates success, you can maybe show me some examples, but I can show you some examples also where schools have done really well on the national scene with less revenue. Okay. The revenue gap is going to grow further with the expanded 12-team playoff. The SEC and the Big Ten are going to get larger shares of the revenue pie. North Carolina coach Mack Brown said he was disappointed that the money will not be equally distributed. Phillips said Wednesday that the final breakdown was made over the college football playoff appearances, and the ACC was slotted to get 17 to 18%. I felt like I negotiated hard, just like every conference did, and we got to a place that at the end of the day, do you love it? You don't love it, but it certainly was better than where we started, and it's more than we've ever had relative to CFP dollars. But I again understand it causes an even greater gap. We have to try to change that, and we're determined to do that. As for the settlement talks of House versus the NCAA, which I brought up several times in the last couple of weeks, he didn't want to get into specifics, Phillips did. Too many unknowns, he said, remain as to what the final dollars will look like. But the ACC presidents and chancellors are going to meet next week in Charlotte for their spring meetings to discuss the issue further. He says, these cases are going to take a little while. We'll have to work through them. We have 10,000 student athletes that are really doing well and are performing at the highest level. I hope that we don't lose sight of that while all of this is going on. The conference continues to do well. We'll manage what we have to manage. They're in a precarious spot. But again, there's a couple of things that have happened here that, again, common sense has to come into play. So I understand where Florida State is coming from. And again, notice the all the emails that that ESPN requested in its Freedom of Information Act request, the FOIA request, were from December 3rd through December 22nd. So what's the significance of the two dates? December 3rd is the day we find out that Florida State, as an undefeated team, does not make the college football playoff, and December 22nd is the date that the lawsuit is filed by Florida State against the ACC. So that's why they wanted to look at the emails. Well, the emails that were sent to them, they're all from fans saying, what are you doing? You got to get out of this thing. This is killing us. I mean, that's what they saw over and over and over again. There are a few emails that are between Alford and the President McCullough and so forth. You know, you sense that their communication has been verbal and not by way of email or text. Like an email or a text may say, hey, we need to talk, but that's, then they talk. In other words, by not emailing and not texting it, they're keeping it out of the public domain, which is how you have to think these days.
I was just going to say, I'm sure this was discussed over a lunch meeting with no prying eyes or ears.
Probably in somebody's office with no prying eyes or ears. But there's a couple of common sense items that need to be asked here. All right. Oh, Florida State goes to the Big Ten. Well, how often have we now heard that in the last how many months? Okay. But I'm sitting there in the Big Ten. I never hear anybody bring this up. Never. If Oregon and Washington have to go into the Big Ten with half shares for 6 years, what makes you think Florida State's a full share team?
I don't think anybody else does, but I think Florida State thinks they're a full share team.
Right. They think they're a full share team, too. But guess what? There are already two members of the Big Ten that are not getting full shares. What an incredible slap in the face to existing membership if you now let somebody else in at a full share. They've already negotiated the TV contracts. The TV contracts have six more seasons to run. One season down, six to go. But, okay, NBC's not renegotiating their contract. Why should they? CBS is not going to renegotiate their contract. Why should they? And Fox has already kicked in the extra money to help out with Oregon and Washington. How much more are they supposed to do? See, that part, that I never hear anybody bring that part up. Ever. Nobody. I mean, it's like, I feel like sometimes I swear we're in a bubble. Nobody thinks. Right? Now here's the next part. Grant of rights. All right, if the grant of rights is so easy to get out of, it's only a few pages. It's not one of those, it's not like House Bill 402, boom, comes in, it's like 50,000 pages, like, oh, nobody knows what's in it. The grant of rights is like 5 to 8 pages. That's it. You've had years to look at it. What have you been doing, at a page at a time? No offense. They can't find the loophole. It's not that many pages. If you can't find it, it's not there. All right? So let's go to Texas and Oklahoma. Never brought up. We got to bring it up again. I never hear this brought up. The half share thing, I never hear brought up, and I never hear ever the Texas-Oklahoma deal. Texas-Oklahoma invited and accepted in the summer of 2021. Shocked everybody. You know, you want to know what got the train going on USC, UCLA? Texas and Oklahoma did. Well, in 21, where did the two teams play? The Big 12. In 22, where did the two teams play? The Big 12. In 23, where did the two teams play? The Big 12. In 24, they're finally going to play in the SEC, because there was one more year to go on the Big 12 contract. And so at $50 million apiece, where they finally got to the end of the deal, they were able to pay the exit fee negotiated in combination with the grant of rights fee. Golly gee. How about that? Interesting, isn't it? So the grant of rights, which, oh, yeah, you can get out of that. Yeah, you can get out. You really can get out of it? Oregon, Washington, UCLA, USC are all going to the Big Ten. Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado. All right. They're going to the Big 12. Right? And they're all able to do that. You know, then, you know, Cal and Stanford are going to the ACC, but that was a total afterthought. But they're all able to do it because guess what happens on August 1st? The grant of rights runs out in the Pac-12. That's why the official entry day into the Big Ten for Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC will be August 2nd. Because the grant of rights runs out August 1st. They don't have to pay an exit fee and there's no grant of rights. It's done. Well, Florida State's not in that spot. Hey, their grant of rights runs out in 2036. It's a gigantic number. Right? Texas and Oklahoma waited it out. Okay? Three seasons waited it out. Finally got to the last season. That's where they paid the exit fee and the grant of rights fee and got out. Right? Oregon and Washington get into the Big Ten. Don't have to worry about the grant of rights or exit fees because the conference, everything runs out August 1st anyway. But in order to make the move, they get half shares. So what makes Florida State think that this grant of rights thing is so easy, right, to get out of? And what makes them think that they're a full share team right out of the gate?
Hubris.
Right. But I've got Texas, Oklahoma, Washington, Oregon as evidence that tells me a different story.
Well, whoever wrote the grant, the law firm that wrote the grant of rights fee certainly realized that, you know, teams would try to break this at some point and made sure that there was no loopholes. One, and yeah. I just think that somebody told, or Florida State got it into their heads collectively that they are more important than they are. I think, and I don't see how this works. This just, the longer this goes, it just doesn't, you know, they might end up being a team without a home because they're going to make the ACC mad, and, you know, they're still not sure where they end up if they get out of the ACC.
All right. That's a really good point on your part, as usual. The Florida State is one of the 18 schools that make up 50% of the TV ratings. In fact, I was talking to Michael Motti and I at lunch today, and I was talking to him about this. And I said, you know, because he's in development, I said, the TV part is so important. I said, look, 18 schools make up 50% of the TV ratings. Penn State's one of the 18, but so's Florida State. So let's give credit where credit's due. Next up, Florida State, I think, is 12th in total viewership from 2016 to 2023. I don't remember what their exact number is, but obviously I have Penn State's exact number ingrained in my head. Penn State's number 6 at 241 million viewers. All right. So they do bring that to the table, but Oregon and Washington also bring that to the table. And they're getting half shares.
And, you know, do they want to be the marquee program in that new Big 12? I mean, I guess that would be the other option.
Yeah, but that's only slightly more money. They want the big score.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't understand where they get the big score though. Like we've talked numerous times, you know, both SEC and the Big Ten have those markets already, for the most part. Well, I guess the Big Ten doesn't have the South market, but why would what advantage does the Big Ten have to have that one Southern team?
Well, Florida obviously is a great market. Florida State, now that they're back playing well after being in a drought, is a draw. Now, remember, the SEC already has the University of Florida. I know Florida State is trying to work toward toward AAU membership. There are a lot of variables in here that when you're matching them up with other with other facts that have come into play. Right? It doesn't add up for Florida State. It doesn't add up for Florida State. Where Oregon and Washington are in on half shares, and they're part of the 18 that make up 50% of the viewership. Just like Florida State is. But they're getting half shares because they came in a year after the TV deal was negotiated. And then you look at the grant of rights issue with and you look at Texas and Oklahoma. They all tell a story. They tell a story about where they are. See, I mean, you've got to be able to at least be able to draw lines, and you just can't make assumptions without saying, "Well, wait a minute, right? That makes no sense."
The other part of it is, Florida State's going to have to pay some sort of money to get out of all this stuff at some point.
That's right.
If they're allowed to. And what does that do to their athletic department? Because it's not going to be, the Texas's athletic department can afford $50 million, I think, way more than the Florida State athletic department
can. Sure, that's exactly right. Right? And now you look at the top 10 games of last season, viewership-wise. Right? Michigan is involved in three of them. Ohio State is involved in two of them. Penn State's involved in two of them. All right? Oregon's involved in two of them. Alabama is involved in one. Florida State's involved in only one. Opening night with LSU. Penn State was involved in two of the top 10 games of the season, viewing-wise. Florida State was involved in one. Colorado was involved in more. They were involved in two.
I bet they were both in the beginning of the season, too.
Yep, they're both September games, my man. Well said. Yeah. So there you are. Sean Fitz next half hour from on3.com as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, we'll get to Sean Fitz in a few moments as soon as we get him on the line. All right. And we'll go from there. We'll talk with him. So there. I know when I did the promo, Sean's the one I mentioned. The suit demanded he be mentioned in it. And he said, did Todd edit me out? I said, no. I said, that was my editorial decision.
All right, Sean's on the line, Steve.
There you go. Perfect. Okay, this half hour, by the way, brought to you by good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Sean, welcome. I know you don't do a lot of these, and we really appreciate the fact you gave us some of your time today.
Of course. Sorry I missed the call the first time. I was on the phone on the charger watching some golf. Scottie Scheffler hold out number one, and I got excited. So, you know, I just burned a little behind because of it. So.
Well, that's okay, because Shoffley is 62. Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable. Wow. As you know, Nate Bauer and I are going to play tomorrow morning. And, you know, one of us might get to 62 on the front. So,
yeah. Okay, it should be great. Should be pointed out that the owner of the station, Roger Haddon, is a huge Washington Commanders fan. So you are not alone, just so you know.
Tortured Soul Society, yes. That's good to know. I think it's probably a little bit easier to follow now that Dan Snyder's out, but I grew up with it. I'm trying to afflict my kids with it as well. It hasn't taken to them yet, but we'll get there at some point.
A busy weekend coming up because Penn State's going to get some top guys coming in, but then the series of official visits kicks into high gear starting the weekend of the 31st. So where do things stand right now with the official visits and guys coming in to see Penn State?
Yeah, they're very big right now. I mean, we've just been playing the waiting game for almost 2 months now. It just seems like we're going to get to the end of May. We're going to get to June. We're going to get there, and then things are going to happen. Penn State's class about halfway full right now, but you're going to look at the next couple months as pivotal in terms of filling up, because if you look at how Penn State has typically done their recruiting, they're for the most part, they lock up shop by the time the season rolls around. I think part of that's by design. Part of that's just the calendar and how it's worked out with these official visits. But they're going to start this weekend. Yose Epinesa, the younger brother of AJ Epinesa, who played at Iowa, was a fantastic player for the Hawkeyes with the Bills right now. He's going to come in. It's more of a victim of circumstance there with his calendar. He's got four official visits scheduled in June, so he'll be in this weekend. And then it's every weekend from there on out, May 31st, June 7th, June 14th, June 21st, and then the dead period comes in. That's when they kick into overtime. That's when they kick into camp season. I think that's when, you know, this class can sort of catch its stride. It's been all over the place, very early commitments in some spots. They've got 9 commitments on the offensive side of the ball right now, 4 on defense. So you can bet that defensive staff is probably going to catch up some here in the next 6 weeks.
Now, on the offensive side, Danny O'Brien and Andy Koltunicki have gone out. They've looked at a lot of quarterbacks themselves individually, haven't they?
Yes, they've been out on the road. Of course, Danny replacing Jaywan Sider on the road as Jaywan works his way back from an off-season injury that we don't talk about. So yeah, Danny's been out. Andy's been out. It's been mostly forward focused. 2026. They've got a commitment from Beckham Critson. 2025. Missed out on Matt Zollers in state in 2025. So still trying to poke around there. He committed to Missouri in the spring. So they're still trying to keep an eye on him in state. But for the most part, they seem pretty content with Beckham Critson, who's now at Miami Central in Florida.
All right. Now, the early signing period, as we know, has been moved up in December. When you look at the early signing period, and I take this from a basketball point of view, they've been doing theirs the second Wednesday of November now for decades, and it's worked out fine. Where should they put the early signing period, in your opinion, as somebody who follows it as closely as you do?
You know, I really like the end of July. Obviously, everyone's getting ready for their season. So it's not just the college coaches that are doing it. It's the kids that are doing it. And by and large, when you follow and cover Penn State, most of the kids who are in early, they stay with Penn State. I don't know if it's just a personality thing or just how the two sides sort of mesh together. But Penn State, the way that they had one decommitment last cycle. I think they've had two this cycle in the 2025 early. But, I mean, considering what that's up against nationally, Penn State's got a pretty good retention rate in terms of their guys. So I think it would probably benefit Penn State a lot if they had a signing period at the end of July. And the issue there is, and the same thing happened with, when they started in December, is if you don't sign in July, what's that do? Like, if you feel that, and I know there's verbiage for coaching changes and things like that, but if you feel like you're not completely locked in and you want to go see a game at Alabama, you want to go see a game at Georgia or whatever like that, and they're still recruiting you, how does that happen? It hasn't been a big issue in December because every side has adjusted, but it's just something to put in the back of the mind. But I think from a Penn State perspective and from a high school athlete perspective, getting all that out of the way, not having to worry about injuries, not having to worry about any of that other stuff, I think that end of July probably makes a lot of sense. Now, the flip side there is, does it really matter that much anymore? Because you can arrive in January and you can hit the portal in April. You know, it's mm-hmm. not a situation where you are completely bound to anything really anymore. So that letter of intent, I mean, yes, it means something, but it's not quite the binding agreement that it once was.
And I'm totally with you on the end of July, completely. Because look, you're right. I think a lot of them want to enjoy their senior season in part, and feel like they have that part all settled. And that's why they have the first Wednesday in February, if you're not inclined to make up your mind. So I'm completely with you on that. The settlement with House, we don't know how it's going to play out in the end. But it sounds like the negotiations are 22% of your revenue or $20 million, whichever one is lower. And can this go a long way towards settling that recruiting part down a bit and having guys making commitments?
I think so. It gives everybody a baseline. And you know, as I think you talked about it before, the Big Ten, the SEC are going to be out ahead of everything. Like, this is where the sport has headed. And, you know, as the conferences get bigger, that sort of makes more sense. But it gives everybody a baseline to work with. And it takes just takes everything off of the fans that are being asked to foot the bill. And I think that's the crazy thing is, you look at this system, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, you're asking donors and everything to write these checks and everything like that. That's a tough ask, because you're asking them for facilities, you're asking them for scholarship dollars, you're asking them for all these different things. And I don't think anybody likes the system. It's about who's making the most of the system. And right now, it's been a struggle for Penn State to sort of get the bigger fish across the line, get the things, I wouldn't call it luxury spending, but to keep up with the Ohio States, to keep up with the Alabamas, and actually Alabama's probably a bad example, but to keep up with some of these programs that are able to, you know, pull in these big chunks, I think that's really what you're looking at right now. And if everybody's got a starting point, and yes, everyone has the same starting point now, which is zero, but you know, a nice little buffer would go a long way for a lot of programs. And also, I think it would take it take out that I don't want to call it pay for play. We'll just call it pay for play for, because we're here. Sure. But you take out some of the negotiating power. You take away the ability for some of these recruitments to get out of hand, I think. And you know, I think that Penn State has done a really good job sticking to their guns. I mean, some of that is necessary because of the budget they have, but some of it is, hey, we're not going to go crazy and buy transfers, not going to go crazy and pay a high school kid who hasn't played it down to college football an exorbitant amount of money. And yes, that's going to lose you some recruits, but at the same time, it's also going to help you out on the back end because you're a developmental program. You're a program that's done really, really well in the NFL draft, and people see that. So a long-winded answer to a short question, yes, I think that's something that could really help Penn State.
I mean, look, I know the NIL dollars are out there. Everybody knows it. Well, I was at Ohio State for basketball the weekend Downs committed from Alabama to Ohio State, and I was told indirectly what the number was. It wasn't small. When you talk to recruits, Sean, how often is NIL brought up with the people you talk with?
You know, it's probably less than people think, but then again, you spend most of that recruitment doing visits, doing everything that everyone did 5-10 years ago, and that's fine, but NIL has become the chip, the bargaining chip at the end. So you could have great relationships. You could have a kid on campus 10 times. That's all great. But at the end of the day, if you go in there at the end of that recruitment and somebody comes in and swoops in with a big bag of money, what do you do? I mean, that's the big thing that I'm looking at, and that's kind of what's made it a little bit more difficult to cover is, hey, Penn State can do everything right with a kid. But at the end of the day, if that bag is bigger somewhere else, that can make a difference. And I think I see it more as a tiebreaker, really. It can be, like, a lot of the old things, like people say this is killing the sport and everything like that. A lot of the old things is still a prevalent part of college football. A lot of these old things are still sticking around. A lot of the culture is still sticking around. But, you know, you're just going about it a different way. But that tiebreaker, if somebody's throwing you a bag, if somebody is making it impossible to say no, because this is life-changing money to a lot of these guys that have never touched it and their families have never touched it, and I'm a proponent of athletes getting what they can get, but if that tiebreaker comes through and it's not on your end, that's going to be tough to stomach. And then what do? You go back to your donors and you say, this is why we lost and all this stuff, and it's just a big cycle of I don't even know the word that I would go with it, but it's just a big cycle of disappointment and then trying to turn that into dollars, and just that wheel just keeps turning.
Part of the wheel turning, of the those who transferred out of Penn State, you know, I think you're not going to be surprised to hear me say I wasn't surprised by the ones that transferred out, except for one, and that was King Mack. He ended up going to Alabama. What was your read on that when you finally, because you're the one that put the story out about it?
Yeah, that was a tough one because, like I said, all these things are still in place from college football, and playing time was there. Opportunity was there. This is a kid that was going to be the fourth safety in a three safety look. So, guy gets a stinger, guy has to come out for a while. That's a great opportunity in a defense that you seemingly know. So, like from a football perspective, it's a tough read. Now, there's a lot that goes into it. This is a kid from South Florida. So, South Florida, the Wild West in terms of recruiting, and, you know, there's a lot that goes along with that. But I think that was the surprising thing because we had heard whispers in April about him being a potential, I guess you can call him a poaching candidate or something like that. And it's just like, okay, well, maybe he can work through it. Maybe he can get it. And then all of a sudden he hits the portal on the last day. And I agree with you. The other guys that left, no real big surprises in there. I mean, you never know what was going to happen with Keandre, but that's kind of been the story for the last couple of years. So, but yeah, this one was the one that stings because not only do you go into the summer with a huge hole in the back of your in the fourth spot of your second your safety spots, but also, like, how does this change recruiting South Florida? How does this change, you know, just going out of the region? Because, you know, that distance matters and these other things matter to a lot of different people. And I just had a tough time wrapping my head around that one myself, because I think he's going to be a really good player. And if you look at it, at Alabama, sure, I'm sure he's got a similar opportunity. I don't know the depth chart. I don't know the situation there. But if he has the same opportunity at a defense that he has to relearn, he's got the same opportunity. From a football perspective, that one was a head-scratcher.
Sean, you know the great respect I have for your work and what you do. What is it about this job that drives you and intrigues you when you're covering something 365?
Man, that's a very good question. And it's like, it's always fun to learn the stories, tell the stories, meet the people, know the people. I mean, I think I've been very lucky. I started covering this in 2006 under Joe Paterno, and then Bill O'Brien came through, and that was a trip. And then James comes in and really brings with him the stability that just doesn't happen anymore. So you know a lot of these people, known a lot of these people since he got here. And it's been incredible to be around the people. But from a perspective of covering it, staying ahead of news, breaking news, there's really nothing like it. But the recruiting doesn't get boring to me. I mean, the names change, the stories change somewhat, but there's always something to talk about, and we're grateful for the people at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com and on three that want to follow it year round, because this is a year round sport. You get games 4 months a year, but this is a year round sport. So we really appreciate the people that follow us, and really appreciate the people that interact. I think that's what keeps us going. It's just the interaction with the community. It's really fun, man. And like I said, when people ask about my job, I get paid to watch football. It doesn't get much better than that. I work from home. It does not get much better than that. So I love it. I still get up every morning and I get to work. I don't have to work. I get to work, and I think that's a very big thing, especially with the change to go to On3.
Yeah, and believe me, you're preaching to the choir on that. I get to sit there on Saturdays with Jack Hammond and talk about football. Wow, pretty good.
Unbelievable.
Pretty good life. Hey, one final one I want to bring up, and it actually circles back to the King Mac discussion. You talked about South Florida. Pennsylvania goes in cycles. So the old days of putting the protractor down and drawing a 500-mile circle around State College, you have to go where the talent is. So how, what kind of process is that for this staff to go distances to get guys and convince them that Penn State is the one?
It all starts with that recruiting staff. Now you obviously know the assistants. Terry Smith does a wonderful job. Jaywon Sider, down in South Florida, does a wonderful job. But Andy Frank, Kenny Sanders, Alan Tsimaitis, Chris Mann, just the guys that do the heavy lifting that you don't see are what put Penn State in that position to not only identify, because it's one of the best staffs at identifying talent nationally, but not only identify, but forge those relationships for essentially the closers. And James Franklin was a really good recruiting head coach to come in and do. So this is a top-to-bottom staff effort, and those guys on the recruiting staff, I know Kenny Sanders just had twins about a year ago. I cannot imagine the hours that those guys work, and on top of that, having twins. Oh boy! it's about the work, and it's about the effort that those guys put in.
Sean, great, great respect for the work you do, and really appreciate the time you gave us today, because most of the year is so busy for you, and I'm glad you could carve out a couple of minutes for us today.
And I'm glad I did not fall asleep on the chair watching golf. So I appreciate the wake-up call, and we'll talk to you soon, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Sean, thanks so much. The outstanding Sean Fitz, on3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Great to have him on the show. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Fun show today. Thanks to Kevo. Thanks to Sean Fitz. Todd, as always, back tomorrow with, I don't know, more on-air brilliance? No.
Dick and Ben.
The what?
I said we have Dick Girardi and Ben.
That's true. They'll save the show.
Yes.
Dick Girardi on the Preakness tomorrow. Ben Jones will talk about Beaver Stadium. They'll vote on that Tuesday. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As always, a pleasure being with you from the Sunbury Motors Studio here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.